Yeah, once again, Covenant Church, welcome here. Something happened to me these days that never happened before. I was asked so often, what are you preaching about this Sunday? Now, I can tell you the one thing. The wise men from the East, they are still depending as means of their transportation on camels. They haven't arrived yet. So they may arrive until next Sunday, so I cannot preach about it now. And to tell you what, I'm kind of tired of Christmas anyway. Isn't it good that Christmas is over? I've seen the first Christmas trees stripped from their decorations already lying in the ditch besides the driveway. Isn't that the way to go now? Or if you have if you have an artificial tree, it's back in the cardboard box and stowed away in the garage or in the attic, wherever you keep it for the rest of the year. And you know what? There is no Silent Night blasting out of the loudspeakers in malls and superstores anymore. Please, for the next 11 months, don't talk about Christmas to me. I need a break. Have you ever thought so? Maybe the one or other of you had that feeling, oh, it's enough of Christmas. And probably there is some little truth in it. We're overdoing. And somewhere there, and I'm overdrawing here as well, right? You got that. That's not my personal real feeling here. I'm overdrawing because I want to demonstrate to you, yes, we are doing probably a little bit too much with Christmas and all that. But there is that saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's do the right thing. And I can tell you, when Jesus finished his Sermon on the Mount, he told a parable to the people. A parable that I think is applying for us today as well. Let me read it to you. It's mentioned in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24 to 27. If you have your Bibles ready or take those from the pews, there won't be anything up here today. That's all you will see for the rest of this sermon. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I know a number of churches where this parable is made into a kid's story. And everybody hearing it thinks it's a kid's story. No, it isn't. That's a parable for you and me. Because it's a question, where did you put your foundation for your life on? Is that something serious? Is that something solid? or are we building on sand? Now, and this parable isn't only made for Jacques and Sean and Gib, who are in construction business. No, this is made for us. We all have to hear. We all have to get the message, build your house on a solid foundation. Nobody builds a weak foundation by purpose, I think so. That happens just because we are too lazy or we don't pay attention in the right way. And I can tell you what happened to me this year. After almost 30 years that we live in, not we live, but that house is built where we live in, all of a sudden, one foundation of our deck and the foundation of our air conditioner started to move up. Now, this summer, my air conditioner was standing like this. And I thought, oh, what can I do? So first, I got it all leveled out again. But this year, come spring, I will have to dig all that old foundation that was poured there, some cement, little cement slab. I have to dig it out, and I have to replace it because that's dangerous. It's no good. But nobody did that by purpose, and nobody expected it to come, and I didn't expect it to come after 30 years. But that can happen if we take a foundation that's not really well done. Bringing that into the context of Christmas. If we don't practice, if we don't put it into life what we've heard about Christmas, if we don't take the Christmas message and make it the message for the rest of the year, we're all those fools who build on sand. You will come to the point where your life will prove that things are going wrong. We have to put into practice what we heard about Christmas. So, what is that Christmas message that we heard about? Was just told to the kids again, because the Christmas message that was condensed in the four candles that we lit over the last weeks. The Christmas message is, and I just give it a different order, please forgive me, but I have my reasons for it. The Christmas message is love, peace, joy, and hope. Can we practice these things? Love is the theme of the New Testament. It starts with the birth of Jesus when Jesus himself said in John 3:16, "For so God loved the world that he gave his son." The whole New Testament is about love, and if you study the words of Jesus, if you study what he preached about, what he was talking about, Jesus always talked about love God and, not or, and love your neighbor and love your enemy. And I may put in today, because we are living in such a terrible society, and please love your family. Love is a theme. Love is a topic of the New Testament. What does it mean to love someone? What does it mean to practice love. Jesus told us. He said, go and take a look and help the poor, the helpless, the children, the sick, those who are in jail. Let me ask you one thing. Do you do anything regularly for these groups of people? Nobody can do it all. And I can tell you, I've been in three times in my life, I've been in a jail as a visitor. This was the most depressing thing I experienced in my life. So I would have a hard time to visit and take care of people in a prison, but I know, and I have to do something. So I just can say there is so many other opportunities we have. We have Salvation Army having a food bank. Do you spend any time there? Do you help with anything? Do we spend any money? There are lots of kids programs. They may not all be wonderful, but do we give to any of these children's programs at least with a certain regularity? What are we doing? What are we practicing? Are you visiting sick people, people in need? There's a lot of time in a year that we can use for that, and there's a lot of excuses, I know. But if we don't practice what we've heard about love at Christmas time, if we don't do it, where is your foundation for your life? And if you have any questions, if you don't know where to start, if you don't know what to do and how to do it, you can ask in our office, you can ask the pastor. There are chaplains around that we know helping at the jail or working at the Waypoint. You can ask them. What can I do to practice love in my community? The next thing on my list is peace. Peace is a result, it's a consequence of love. If you do not love, you probably cannot have peace. You may have the possibility to have a ceasefire, but not really peace without love. It's almost exactly 100 years ago that the politicians of our world tried to make an end to World War I. World War I officially ended in 1918, but it wasn't before September of 1919 that the Treaty of Versailles was published. People tried to bring peace by this treaty, but the problem was that treaty was so unfair, it was so disrespecting, it was so made without love, that when it was published, a number of high-ranked politicians said, wow, that's a reason for the next world war. And we all know the next world war came like 20 years later. Peace isn't made by contracts. Peace is a question of love. It's a result of love. Now, I hope you too will allow me to address to you directly to Jer and Jill. Jerry is Dutch, Jill is British, I am German. We should be enemies, do you know that? At least probably your parents and my parents, or your grandparents and my parents were. They were the worst enemies that you can imagine. Now, how come that I can stand here, you sit there and hear my message? Something happened. You respect me, I respect you. There is some love bonding between us. Because we all know it doesn't have to do with what our parents and grandparents did. It's between you and me. So we joined the same home group. I was even invited to their home. They invited the enemy. Can you imagine that? But that's exactly what it's about. If you and I, if we respect each other, if we go the step and love each other, we have a chance to live in peace. If we don't do it, if we try to make contracts, we'll break them anyway. That doesn't bring peace. Peace is a question of love. Peace is a result. It's of love, and it's not possible without love. There is joy. Joy comes out of love and out of peace. You cannot enjoy your day when you feel at war with somebody. You ever experienced that? I've gone through that recently. There's a war going on between me and the German tax office. Guess what? Over the last weeks, I was kind of a miserable guy for my family. I was digging into all kinds of stuff. I was reading on the internet. What can I do? What can I say? How can I avoid this? How can I make this different? How can I change the results? But I wasn't really enjoying my days until I really recognized, what am I doing? I'm seeing somebody as my enemy. I'm not at peace with things. Forget about love. I mean, nobody really loves the tax office, but it's a necessity, and we have to respect them. But we cannot enjoy. We cannot feel joy in our lives if we are not at peace. Joy is the consequence of living in peace with others, of respecting others. And you know what? The worst thing about a joy or having no joy is it affects you the most. You know, those people who aren't too close to me, they probably haven't recognized how miserable I was. And many of you would have the chance to turn the back on me and say, okay, he's not in a good mood today, let's wait a bit. You are the one, you are your worst enemy yourself if you cannot enjoy the day you are living. So it's up to you. It's up to you to make peace. It's up to you to respect. It's up to you to start to love. And that may not be easy. But if you don't do it, you're digging under the foundation of your life. You're bringing holes into it. And that can be just having effects after 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know when it may come to the collapse. I remember there was a street collapsing in one of the big cities of Europe just like 5 years ago or so. They found out that by digging the ways for a subway, they haven't refilled properly, and all of a sudden a whole street, including the tarmac, just collapsed. And there was no foundation. That's what we are doing when we don't start, when we don't seek peace and love with others. Your joy is gone, and your foundation may be broken. And then there is hope. What is hope? Hope is looking forward with joy. See, when we hope for something in the future, we hope it will be better. Nobody hopes it will get worse. We hope it will be better. We hope it will be good. So hope means we are looking forward to some good events. How can we look forward with joy when our present isn't joyful? How can we look forward with joy when all what we leave behind us is a mess? I know from my experience as a student, and I mean like a 10-year-old, I always made a mess of my notices of what I had to write into my papers and whatnot. So I always started a new thing and hoped it would become better by starting something new. Isn't right. I found that out very soon. You only can start something better when you really make sure what you are leaving behind is finished, is done, is okay. We only can hope for the future if we are ready to say, okay, that is the past, and we finish it, and we say, and we finish it at peace. That we at least find a way to say, okay, that was in the past, but that's not the reality anymore. I go different ways, I start something new, and I know it can bring me to something better. That's hope. We have a hope for the future. We have a hope for Jesus to come. We as a church, we should tell this to the world. We have hope. Because there is something better to come, but that's what's better to come, is taking care of our present and also of our past. That's why it is so important when we believe in Jesus that we finish our past with him, we live our presence with him, only then we have a hope for the future in Jesus. The question of hope is also a question of trust. Whom do you trust? Do we trust in Jesus? You may say, of course. And I mean that really personal now. Do you trust in Jesus so much that you say, yes, and I have demonstrated this trust in Jesus by becoming baptized and by belonging to a church and by being a member of Covenant, for example? It's something that I see going on in many churches around here, people are less and less willing to take that step of trust. They don't want to become baptized anymore. They don't want to belong to a church anymore. They don't want to be members written in a list. They don't trust. People say, hey, I want to sneak out as fast as I can if things don't go the way I want it. Where do we put our trust in, and what is our hope? What's our hope for the future? Some of you know I'm driving once a week. I'm driving the truck of the Salvation Army for picking up bread for the food bank. It takes me about an hour and a half every week that I do it, and I have to say I love driving that pickup truck, or that cube van, if you call it that way. And you know what? There is a theme written on it. It says, give hope for today. Are we giving hope? Hope is one thing if it is for me. I hope to be this and this. I hope to get this and this. I hope for the future. But are we giving hope to others? Are we the reason that other people have hope? Think of it. We have almost a whole year. We have about 11 months till Christmas comes back to practice what the message of Christmas says to us. Do we want to be wise? Do we want to start practicing love and peace and joy and hope? Or do we want to be foolish people? Do we want to fool around and say, I don't care about all this. I don't care about Christmas. I put my Christmas tree away for the next 11 months. I don't want to see it. Don't talk to me about these things. And I don't practice it. You will find, sooner or later, that the foundation of your life is cracking and slipping away. So let's all make that decision at the end of this year, at the end of this Christmas season. We want to start practicing what the Christmas message is telling us. May God bless you by doing this. Amen. Then we will have a final song.